You're going to think I'm crazy when I tell you this, but I love airports. Now, I don't love the big lines or the grumpy people. I don't love paying $10 for a hamburger. And I don't love that tight little thing that they make you put your roller bag in to make sure it's small enough, you know? But I do love one place in the airport. I love to sit at the arrivals and to watch the faces of people who are waiting for their loved ones. They're trying to see beyond the hallway. You know that long hallway in Jacksonville? They're trying to see beyond it, wondering when their loved one's going to come around. And some of them have these beautiful signs that say, "Welcome home, Dad," or "We love you." And then to watch their faces when their loved one actually appears, especially the children, and they run to each other. It's like a little glimpse of heaven. I think Jesus had some best friends. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were a very tight-knit family. Two sisters and a brother. And none of them wanted to get married. They lived together as adults after their parents had died. And the gospel really gives us a sense of their personalities. Martha was always busy and fussing, worrying about how clean things are. Mary, much more contemplative and prayerful. And Lazarus was sort of the protector, I think, of that group. When Jesus went to Jerusalem, he would often stay at their house, which is in Bethany, just down the hill a bit. It's an easy walk. I've walked it. I imagine that when Jesus arrived at their house, he felt at home and he could laugh and enjoy a meal and get a good night's sleep. Jesus saw beyond. Jesus understood that for those that love God, death is just a doorway. In fact, in the Gospel of John, he describes it as that his father has a mansion with many rooms. For Jesus, when someone died, they walked from one room into the next room. As the scripture says, Jesus saw in death the gateway to eternal life. He knew this life, but he also knew that there was a greater life beyond, in the next room, the next existence, the next dimension, perhaps. So when Lazarus became sick and they sent a message to Jesus, he did not rush back to Bethany. He was ministering to other people. And it took him 4 days before he made his way to Bethany. And by the time he arrived, Lazarus had died. When Jesus hears the news that Lazarus had died, he doesn't seem that upset because he knew that death is a doorway and he knew that all people died. Jesus saw beyond and he wasn't sad. But it was when he witnessed the grief of Lazarus' sisters that Jesus began to cry. It wasn't Lazarus' death. It was Mary's pain. She says to him, she falls at his feet and says, "Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And he sees how frightened she is. He sees how she thinks of death as this great abyss He sees her pain. And it says in the gospel, Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in all of the scriptures. Jesus wept. And so Jesus decides to bring Lazarus back. He says, let's go to the tomb, and when they get there, let's pull the stone away. And Martha is so predictable. She says, oh no, there'll be a big smell. She's always worried about smells and appearances. So they roll the stone away, and Jesus calls out to Lazarus. He calls him back. Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus walks out of the tomb. Now, if you read further in the gospel, Lazarus is going to die again, the poor guy. This time he gets killed by the Pharisees, who don't want a living witness of Jesus' miraculous power. So why did Jesus bring Lazarus back from the dead only to have him die again and a worse death the second time? So it couldn't have been for Lazarus that Jesus did this. Why did he do it? Years ago, I had an aha moment about Lazarus. My oldest son, Luke, was a baby, and he was just at that age where they want you with them, and when you leave, they cry because they think you're gone forever. We were in the living room in our house in Connecticut, and I had put him on a little blanket, and we were playing with some toys when the mail came through the mail slot in the front hallway, which was just off the living room. So Luke seemed happy with his toys, so I went to the front hallway to get the mail, and he started to cry. So instinctively, as a mother would, I just popped my head back and said, "Hi, I'm still here, don't be afraid." And then I went and got the mail. And as I was picking up the mail, I thought, oh, that's what Jesus was doing with Lazarus. He just popped him back in to say, hey, look, he's still around. Don't be scared. He's not gone forever. He's just walked into the other room. Years ago, I told you all this story, but it's so beautiful. I hope you'll forgive me if I tell it again. Many of you haven't heard it. It's a story about the famous biologist, Loren Ainslie. He was traveling in the Colorado Rockies trying to capture a rare breed of sparrowhawk. The sun was setting, and he came across an old abandoned shack in the mountains, which was the perfect place for this particular breed of sparrowhawk. They liked to make their nests in abandoned places. So Ainslie got his flashlight, and he snuck into the old abandoned cabin, and sure enough, on top of a bookshelf next to an old window, he heard a rustling sound. Quietly, he got a chair and pulled it up to the bookshelf, climbed on top of it, and stood on the chair. With one hand, he shone the flashlight on the birds, and with the other, he reached out and grabbed the female. But the male pounced on his hand and began attacking him, so he had to let go of the female, and she flew out the window. Ainslie's hands were all bloody by the time he got a good hold on that male bird, but he got him, and he put him in a little black box with air holes in it that he had prepared just for this purpose, to keep the bird safe from hurting itself, but so that it could breathe, and he took his prize back to the camp. But that night, Ainslie said that he couldn't sleep. He was so restless. And for reasons he couldn't understand, early the next morning, he woke up and he took that little black box out onto the lawn in front of the camp and decided that he was going to set this little bird free. He took the bird out of the box and lay it on the lawn in front of the camp and stepped back. For a full minute, the bird lay there as if it was dead, as if it couldn't believe that it was free. And then in a moment, it shot up into the sky. And Ainslie said that at that moment, he heard a scream, the likes of which he had never heard before. High above them, where she had been circling all night, the female came screaming down to meet her mate in the sky, and they met and they danced in the wind. Today is called All Saints Sunday. Today we celebrate the people that we love who have died because the church believes that they love you so much that they have been hovering over you ever since they went on, watching you and loving you. And that when you die and go to them, they will come hurtling down to meet you and dance with you in the sky. And if you're wondering who they are, these people that you love who have died, then think of the airport. They're the ones who are holding the sign that says, "Welcome home." They're the ones who have to be there for it to be heaven. I want you to picture them. You see, we are Christians. We believe that death is a gateway to eternal life. We believe that the people who we love who have died live in God. And we are not afraid to say their names. And we believe that we have a relationship with them, that their love continues. And we baptize, when we baptize, we're going to baptize four beautiful souls this morning. And when we baptize them, they are born to eternal life. And for centuries, the church on one day of the year has done this ancient practice called the necrology, in which we read aloud the names of the people that you love who have died. And we read them as we're receiving communion. Because in the Holy Eucharist, we believe that heaven and earth meet. And we are present with angels and archangels and with all the company of the saints. There was a woman in my parish in South Carolina who never missed a Sunday. And at age 80, she went back from the communion rail and knelt down and had a vision that there were thousands of souls coming up to receive communion because they're here with us even now. Our whole church is full of the love of our saints. So inside of your bulletin, there is a little piece of paper. I would like for you to get that out now if you could. On that piece of paper, there are lines, and I would like you to write legibly, please, legibly. Write the names of the people who are holding your sign, the people that you love who have passed on. I have placed in front of the altar a Jewish prayer shawl and a yoga mat so that we can also remember our brothers and sisters who, when they were trying to find peace, left this world. So we remember them as well. So please write down the names of the people that you love who have died. And when you're done, hold your paper up. And the ushers have baskets. Ushers will come and they will put the pieces of paper in the baskets. Ushers, just follow along to everyone who's got their hands up and collect the pieces of paper. Thank you.